Okay, so we are up to the piece Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, a short piece. So it says in the Parshas Akedah that Avraham woke up early in the morning. It says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, Vayashkem, and he woke up early. Michlal, that implies Shebelaila Yashan, that at night he slept. Now, quite frankly, this is not what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is about to be mayor. It's not what he's going to say now, but I would like to add my own ha'ara. I think most people, if they were commanded to kill their son, to slaughter their son as a carbon the next morning, the likelihood is they probably wouldn't sleep. I imagine it would be pretty hard to fall asleep under such a command. So this is already a chiddush that Avraham Avinu actually slept that night. But just to mention, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says Vayashkem Avraham Baboiker, right? So Vayashkem, he woke up early. That implies that he slept. Okay, so Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is going to talk about something on that. But I just said that's a chiddush l'chayra that he was commanded to slaughter his son the next day, and he actually slept at night. Most people probably wouldn't sleep at night. Anyway, but says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, what is the pasuk trying to indicate to me with this? This is important in order to show that they shouldn't think that he wasn't a human being. Shekein davar kazeh, lalechet lishchot ben yachid, eino mitchunat basar v'dam. Because such a thing, to go and slaughter a son who's the only son, is not part of the abilities of a human being. It's not part of human nature. Al ken yashan belayla, therefore he slept that night. Shelo yalav kinat ha-malachim, so that the angels would not be jealous of him. It wouldn't stir their jealousy and their anger at him. In the same way that it says in Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a tardema, he put Adam Arishon to sleep, when the Malachi Asharitz asked Loimer Lefan of Shira, the Malachi Asharitz saw Adam Arishon, he was Betzel Malachim, and he was on an amazing, amazing high darga, an amazing high level, and they thought that he was God. So they wanted to say Shira before Adam Rishon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him into a deep slumber to show that he is human. V'ro kulam. So this, in the same fashion, Avraham Avinu here went to sleep in order to show that he's a human being. V'ro kulam shavraham hu basar v'dam. So they saw, everyone saw that Avraham Avinu was a human being, shor yashan b'layla, because he slept at night. U'b'chol zois. And even so, even though he's human, flesh and blood, with human emotions, etc., Hishkim Baboiker, he woke up early in the morning, Bezrizus, with the midah of Zrizus, what did we say that? Alacrity, is that the word for it? Okay. Lishchait as b'nai yechidai, to slaughter his only son, kedei lekaya mitzvus b'irai, in order to fulfill the command of his creator. So this is important. Again, it's part of showing the greatness of Avraham Avinu, that despite him being a human being with typical human emotions, he was still able to go ahead and do the avoda of Akedas Yitzchak. Okay, now we are, which I do not typically do, we're going to skip the next piece. There's something in this piece that I don't really understand well enough. I don't feel I can teach this piece successfully, even though the side of the piece, the fundamental part of the piece, I do understand, but because of the nuances here, so we're going to skip it. So let's do the next piece. Vayishlach Avram es yado. Avram sent his hand. Vayikach es macheles. What's it? You have to learn by yourself. Okay, and if you could explain it to me, then we could learn it in... there's something there in the writing. It's just not clear enough, so I didn't want to start with it. All right. Vayishlach Avram es yado. Avram sent his hand. Vayikach es macheles lishchot es bono, and he took the knife to slaughter his son. So the Medrash Rabbah says, Hu shaleach yado litol et hasakin. He sends out his hand to take the knife. Ve'einav moridot dma'ot le'einav shel Yitzchak mirachmanuto shel Abba. And his eyes were pouring tears. He was crying. And his tears were falling into the eyes of Yitzchak. And these tears were coming from the mercy of a father. Right? He was crying out of the mercy of a father that he's got to do such a thing, but he's got no choice. This is what Hashem wants. And he was crying. His tears were dropping into the eyes of Yitzchak. Ve'afal pichein, and even so, says the Medrash, halach sameach lasis ritzon yitzroi. He went happy to do the will of his creator. So this is like almost a paradoxical state that he's found over here. On the one hand, he's filled with joy that he has the opportunity to fulfill the word of Hashem and bring his son as a carbon. On the other hand, his human side of him, the mercy of the father, achmanas of the father to his son, is causing him to cry. Jews have that capability. We get it from Avraham Avinu of carrying opposing emotions in the same act. You know, things get complicated sometimes. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, Roitza Loima. What the Medrash is trying to tell us is, Shelo bo Avraham kayim es mitoich bitul kol rigshei sahav v'rachmanos. Avram didn't come to fulfill the command of his creator out of the nullification of all emotions of love and mercy. That wasn't what he did. You know, in psychology, there's such a thing that sometimes a person, chas v'shalom, has a relative or a child, especially a child, I remember learning this, that, has a very difficult terminal illness or whatever it is, so they can basically kind of detach themselves somewhat from from their child emotionally in order to save themselves, in order to, it's too painful, and here the Medrash is saying that Avraham Avinu did not, that would have been a very human and understandable way of carrying out the mitzvah of Hashem, is I can't think about it. I have to think that I'm just slaughtering a chicken, I'm slaughtering a carbon. Nothing to do with it, it's not a human being, it's not my son. That would have been a very understandable way of being mekayim the Ratzon Hashem. But no, Avraham Avinu didn't do that. It says he took the machelas lishchot es beno. The pasuk is emphasizing that he took the knife in order to slaughter his son, meaning he was filled, that's where the Medrash is coming from, that he was filled with rachmanus of a father, and that's how he approached the kiyum of the mitzvah. He didn't try to nullify all the emotions of love and rachmanus. Adrabo, to the exact opposite, to the contrary, halachu lekayim rotzen yitzrei lishchot es b'nai. He went to be mekayim the will of his creator to slaughter his son. Kshu molei rikshus avos el b'nai yichidoi, when as being filled with the emotions of a father on his only son. And that was really the command of Hashem, right? Hashem said to him, take your only son, es bincha, es yichidcha. So he filled this to the T. And he didn't try to, detach himself. And this is from the main greatness of the test of the Akedah and Avraham Avinu. He was able to do such a thing that even staying in tune emotionally to his son, crying, at the same time was able to be happy to be mekayim the Ratzon Hashem. Unbelievable. All right, piece number 3. Oh, somebody wrote to me. Halev. Oh, it says somebody wrote that it says in their girsa, "Vafal pichein halev sameach lasis v'tzon yitzra." Huh? That's what it says in the new edition. In the old edition it says halach. I don't know. I didn't look up the medrash. So it's either halach sameh, he went happy, or his heart was happy, but obviously the meaning is the same one way or the other. Okay. Now, Vayomer al tishlach yotcha lanar. He said, don't send your hand to the right. The Malach now comes to Avram and says to him, don't send your hand out to the youth. Al tas lo ma'uma, don't do anything to him. Ki ati adati, because now I know. Ki yirei elokim ata, you are God-fearing. Velo chasaktes bincha asichitcha meni, and you didn't try to hold back your son, your only son, from me. So the Medrash says, etmol amartali ki bi Yitzchak yikalrei lecha zera. Yesterday you said to me, right? Yaakov was saying this. Yesterday you said to me that in Yitzchak your children are going to be called after Yitzchak, meaning Yitzchak is going to be your continuation. Ve'achakach amartali ha'alei la'ola. And afterwards you said to me, bring him as a karban oila, right? Sacrifice him. V'achshav, and now, again you're switching. Ata omer, al tishlach yotcha lenar. And now you're saying, don't send your hand to the child. Don't kill him. Not a child, really, to the nar, even though he was 37 already. Ukvar tamhu rabim. And many have asked this startling question, right? The imbal ishol, if Avram was already asking this question. He should have asked the question already on the first time that he was told this, you know, bring him up as a carbon oila. Why did he wait till after he was told by the Malach, don't kill him? After the first time that he gets the command, he should have said, wait a minute, I don't understand. Yesterday you told me that Yitzchak is going to be my continuation in the world. Now you're telling me to slaughter him. So that's a kasha of many mefarshim. Actually, the piece that we skipped, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe gives also an answer to this question, and this is a different answer. So he gives two answers in the Sefer. So he says, right, v'lama lo sha'al rak lebasof. Why did he only ask this question at the end? Kasha nerma lo al tishlach yotcha lanar. When he was told, don't send your hand to the youth. V'nei kol ha'garot shebebri'ah. Sheshnayim em yoter me'echad v'lo yitachen tarti desatri. All the classifications, the, I guess, the laws, the rules, the definitions, that's a good word, all the definitions in the creation, that, for example, that two is more than one, and that you can't have two things that contradict each other, framework, okay, yeah. Huh? Axioms. Oh, very good. Okay, all the axioms in the Briyak, right? That two are more than one, and that it's impossible to have two things that are contradicting each other. Zeu mitzad Briya. Those are all just from the aspect of the creation, which the Bechinas Shem Elokim, from the Bechina, from the aspect of the name Elokim, which means literally God, right? Bereshis Bara Elokim. In the beginning, Elokim created. So the Shem Elokim, which made the creation, is the one that made these principles, these axioms, these rules of nature, or of the, you know, fabric of the cosmos, that you can't have two things that are contradicting, and that you can't have two, and that two is more than one. That's all from the aspect of the Shem Elokim, the name Elokim, because Bereish is Bar Elokim, the world was created by Elokim. Avo mitzad Shem Avaya Baruch Hu. But if we're going to look at things from the perspective, from the aspect, from the side of the name Yud Ke Vav Ke, which we know is the higher name of God, Shelamalo min Abriya, in which we know the Yud Ke Vav Ke is above the creation. Ein shum agdarot klal. From there, from that angle, there's no, you know, rules, there's no defining rules, there's no axioms, ve'ein shum tarti desatri, and there's no contradictions. Bechinat shem avaya hu mitzad habanim. Right, the aspect of the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei is the aspect of the banim, is from the side of the children. Hem Yisrael am kedosho. They are the Jewish people, his holy people. Ubechinas shem Elokim hu mitzad ha'avot. This is very fascinating, very also counterintuitive. Right? He says that the name El Havaya, which is the higher name, the Yudke Vavke, that comes from the tzad of the children, of the banim. But the name of Elohim comes from the aspect and the side of the Avos, the fathers, the forefathers. Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yakov. Umashe Matzanu, and that was, of course, the primary name which Hashem revealed himself to with the Avos, was the Shem Elohim. Umashe Matzanu, Shinizkar Shem Havaya, Yitzel Avos. And what we do find that sometimes the name Yudke Vavke is mentioned by the forefathers, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, whom mitzad bechinas habanim shaya ba'avos. That's because of the aspect of the banim that was already found in, by the forefathers. Kemosha amru b'medrash, like we find the Medrash says, shegam avot nikru Yisrael Hashem habanim. The Medrash says that the avos were also called Yisrael, meaning Avram and Yitzchak included. We're called Yisrael based on the name of their children in the future, which is Yisrael. So we find that the aspect of the banim is already applied and found by the avos. And therefore, Yudke Vavke was also sometimes used in relation to the avos. V'amechuvan ba'akeda haya lehalot et Yitzchak. The intention by the akeda was to elevate Yitzchak mebchinat ha'avot lebchinat ha'banim, to elevate Yitzchak from the aspect of the avos to the aspect of the banim, the sons, the children. Me'aseder shel abriya la'aseder shel amala min abriya, from the order of the creation to the order that is above creation. Lebchinas shem havaya, which is the aspect of the shem, the name of havaya. She'ein sham hagdarot, where there are no axioms, ve'lo yitachen sham shum stira, where there is no contradiction possible. It's above, it's beyond all, right? It's the infinite, which means it's there are no definitions, limitations, etc. And that was the purpose of the Akedah, was to elevate Yitzchak to that level of beyond the creation, beyond the laws of nature, beyond the axioms of this world. V'lezot lo yashum makom lishol. Because of this, there was no room to ask. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, commands Avram Avinu, bring Yitzchak as a carbon oila. Ha'aleu loila, right? Aleu, by the way, of course, is elevate him, right? Literally, that's what oila is, right? To go up, to be elevated. So there was no room to ask. Etmol amarta kach, vayom ata omer kach. Yesterday you said one thing, now you're saying differently. Because in the aspect of the name of Havaya, there is no contradiction between one thing and its opposite. Because the contradiction is always only from the world of gradation. Right? We have madregas, we have levels. And it's no shaykhus to a world that is negated from all types of gradation and levels. V'sham yesh makom kiyum l'shneem. Over there in that world, meaning the spiritual worlds above this world, there is place for everything, for both of those things, the two opposing things, to actually concurrently exist. Afa pisha b'olam adragayim tarti desatri. Even though in the world of gradation levels, they're contradictory. So therefore, since the whole point of that Akedah was to raise Yitzchak to that level which is beyond Olam Hazeh, beyond the Olam HaTeva, so there's no, that's not a question. Why? Yesterday you said this and today you said yeah, you're going to that place where you're going to realize that there's no contradiction between these two commandments. So Avraham Avinu doesn't have to ask that at that point. And this is what why it says in the whole parsha, it keeps repeating this lashon. Bicha, your son. Beno, his son, Beni, my son, Zulatli Na'arav, except for these, the youths who escorted him, Omar, he said, Vani Vanar, to them, to Yishmael and, right, and Eliezer, he said, Vani Vanar, to them, he referred to his son as I and the Nar, not the Ben, but the Nar, because he was talking to the two Na'arim. So he refers to also his son Yitzhak as Nar. Why is the Torah constantly repeating and emphasizing the fact that it's his son? Because that's the old inyan of the Akedah, was to reveal the amazingness of that level of banim, the amazing level and aspect of banim, of sons, of children. What? Shidgalu bebchinatam hamushlelet mikol hagdara, that they will be revealed in the future in their aspect which is negated from all limitation, classification, right? The as you call Yisrael akudim agabi mizbeach, and then all the Jewish people will be bound on the mizbeach, kshurim udvukim by yisbarach, tied together and clinging to Hashem yisbarach. And the life and the opposite of life, there won't be any contradiction. There won't be any contradiction between life and the opposite of life. And then after the Malach Hashem comes to him, and he says to Avram, don't touch the Nar. Don't send your hand out to the Nar. Kalaymar, meaning, it still hasn't come. The time is still not yet here to reveal the aspect of the Ben. He's still only in the aspect of Nar, of the youth, of a young person, not Ben. Ben is another Darga, another Madrega. Because he's, and the idea that he's in the Bechina of Nar is that they're still, we're still found, you guys are still in the Olam of Hagdara, the world of limitation, of boundaries. So now, once he's still in this world of boundaries, of limitations, now Avram says, well, Glenn, if that's the case, can you please explain to me how this works out? You told me this one thing 2 days ago, another thing, you know, you told me yesterday, that whatever, a few days ago, or a week ago, what, a year, whatever it was, right, when the promise actually was years ago, you told me that Yitzchak is going to be the my continuation. The next day you tell me, kill him, bring him up as an oil, and now you're telling me, Al tishlach yotcha lanar. So how does this work out? Now I can ask, if you're telling me I'm still down at the level of Nar, which means I'm still in the level of boundaries in this world, so how does this work out? Now, let me just explain something here, because this isn't a typical piece where it's not very clear to the average reader what in the world does Ben and Nar have to do with this. Like, why does Nar have to, why does that indicate the world of boundaries? So I unexplain. Al pi Kabbalah, okay, and that's allowed. Usually, these kinds of things, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, and almost anything Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, he's coming also from the Kabbalah behind it, even like things that look simple. Klal Yisrael is referred to as, in the Pasuk, Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. You are sons to Hashem your God. And in the Zohar, that is explained to be referring to that Klal Yisrael are rooted in the bottom two partsufim, the bottom two sphere systems of the Olam Ha'atzilus, which is the God's world, okay, the world of emanation. That is the Olam Ha'atzilus, we've said many times, is the world above the Olam Ha'briya, the world of creation, right? So we have four worlds. We have primary worlds, you know, there's higher than that also, but Olam Ha'atzilus, which is God's world, Olam HaBriya, which is the world of creation, Olam HaYetzira, the world of formation, and Olam HaAsiya, the world of finish, you know, the world of where it becomes, everything becomes really physical. So the Olam HaBriya, which is already a creation, that is actually the place where the Kisei HaKavod is found, the throne of God, right? It like as if is the throne for Atzilus, for Hashem himself, right? Which is identified with Olam HaAtzilus. The Olam HaYetzira, the world of formation, is the world of the Malachim. Our neshamas, it says in the Sfarim, come from the Olam HaBriya, which is in rooted and sourced in Olam HaAtzilus already above. Okay, so that's why we're called Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. The Olam HaYetzira, which is the Olam, there's a Malach which rules and is really at the top of the Olam HaYetzira, bottom of Olam HaBriya and top of Olam HaYetzira, and that Malach is called Matat. Mem tes tes resh vav nun, which appears in Gemara, or sometimes spelled mem yut tes resh resh, but we don't say the full name, we just call him Matat. Okay? He is the leading malach, so to say. He runs, he's the leading malach of the system of Yetzirah. He is also referred to as Nar. That's when the Sifri Kabbalah, he's labeled, he's referred to as the youth, Nar. So that is within, Nar represents something which is in within the worlds of creation, Bria, Yitzira, Asiya. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is referring to. You're not on the level. We wanted to reveal the level of Banim, which is rooted in Atzilus, which is above and beyond anything to do with the axioms and boundaries of creation, right? But no, it's not time. Don't send your hand to the Nar. Yitzchak is still Nar. He's still within the Olamos of Bria Yetzira Asiya. Still Shayach to Matat. He's still under that, you know, under that class of people that relate to Nar. And therefore, you're still in the Olam of Agdara, the world of boundary. And therefore, now Avram has a legitimate question. There's a lot of contradicting going on over here. How do these different things that Hashem has told me, how does this work out? Vishal Mashashal, and so he asked what he asked. Uba Atshuva. And the answer, the reply came back. Ha'aleu amarti lecha velo shechteu. I told you to bring him up. I didn't say to shecht him. Right? The famous thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him l'shchot, he didn't tell him to. He gave him the impression that he meant, because normally when you bring an Ola up, it's to bring it up and shecht it. But no, I meant just to bring him up to the top of the mountain to be an Ola, but not to actually go ahead and slaughter it. Fine. And that's how now everything works out. Great, that's the answer to what seemed to be a contradiction. There was never really a contradiction. Amnam kolzeh b'b'chinas ha'ilam ha'gdara. But that's all from the aspect of the world of boundary. Avam b'chinat ha'metzi'ut ha'mushlelet mikol ha'gdara. But from the aspect of the metzius, of the world which is negated from all boundary and limitation and classification, haleo v'shachteo achasi. There is no difference between haleo and shachteo, because the life and the opposite of life are no different than each other. It's all one. V'advarim gvoyim v'nelamim. And the things are high and concealed. In other words, he's saying, I know I'm speaking to you Chinese. It's like, you know, I know what I'm saying seems to not make any sense whatsoever. How can haleo v'shachteo be the same thing? How could it be to just bring him up and to shecht him is one thing, meaning like you said before, how could life and not life be the same thing? And I think again here, he's really, okay, we can understand in an abstract way, we can understand what he's saying is that, yeah, all contradiction limitation is down here. But then when you actually try to apply it, your mind goes bust and you're like, okay, I don't know, you know. So
that's why we refer always to Eifer Yitzchak.
That's why what?
We refer a lot in davening to the Eifer.
To the Eifer of Yitzchak.
Right.
Yeah.
He was shechted and burnt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but over there, why? Over there, because it's like Machshava Kamaisa. Like, he actually really went ahead and did it. But you're saying that if once he was Mekayim the Haleo, that's very nice. You're saying once he was Mekayim the just bring him up, so really, in a certain sense, he shechted him already, and therefore there we have that concept of the dust of the Eifer of Yitzchak on the Mizbeach. Yeah. and Echanami. So, you know, I think what he's really referring to is just that whole concept that we find all the way at the base of all Kabbalah, which is the idea of Tzimtzum, that Hashem, you know, constricted his light, as if constricted his light, in order to make room for the creation. Now, in doing so, the Arizal describes it, that he, Kiviyachol, pulled himself out of a certain space and created this vacant space called the Chalal HaPanui, this vacant space that's vacant from all God's or his light, except for a very, very tiny bit of it, what's called the Rishimu, an impression of light, did leave in there, but for all intents and purposes, it's called, you know, it's like the big black hole, you know, dark, lacking all light, and that's called the Chalal HaPanui, the vacant space that God is now going to start filling with light, and he starts the creation process as he brings in light. There's a whole process which we're not going to go into now, but in the Svarim HaKadoshim it comes out, and I wrote about this in my Sefer HaTzimtzum HaMetzius. I was actually very excited because I kind of got to this on my own, and then I saw that Ramat Vali explicitly says it, that ultimately the Chalal HaPanui, that vacant, as if vacant space, which seems to be vacant of God's light, is actually just a piece of God's light, a piece of God himself. It's not that, and I'm going to have to say, like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, Hadvarim Gvoyim and Elohim. We can't get into this at length. It's, you know, it'd take at least one shiur, probably more than one shiur, to do this on a somewhat more real level. But basically what comes out is that there's a specific, let's translate it, it'll make it a little bit easier, let's translate it into Gvul and Bilti Gvul. Okay, Bilti Gvul, the light of God, God's infinite light is Bilti Gvul, right? It's obviously it's infinite, and therefore it doesn't have any limitations that we speak about. The Chalal, which is the constriction of Hashem's light, which creates that vacant space, allows for things to exist as if outside of God, meaning it allows for limitation. It allows for limitation. There's nothing so opposite to God's infinite self as something that's limited. But, says Rabbi Yisrael, the Rebbe of the Ramban, in his Sefer Bir Esesfiras, a small, tiny Sefer Bir Esesfiras, he says that obviously the Ein Sof, the Infinite One, has to have koach in the Gvul as well. He has to have the power of limitation somehow within him, because he can't be lacking anything. If you took that out of him, you said he doesn't have koach in the physical, then you have now made the infinite lacking, which is impossible, because the infinite is totality, is completion, is perfect perfection, it's all-encompassing. So there's got to be this koach gvi, as if within God's infinite self. And that's what the Chalal is. The Chalal is that koach gvul, ultimately, is that koach of finite, which is within God. And through this, an amazing process which our minds can't understand at all, he reveals this koach through the process of creation. That's what that symptom is, the constriction is, revealing this. And yet we know that there was no change in his infinite self at all. Even though there's this whole process of constriction and creation, etc., his infinite self didn't change one iota, and it's all just from the perspective of creations, which that, of course, is beyond human capacity to understand. Ultimately, that's what the Rambam says also, right? Rambam in all, Yad HaChazak, and in the Mar Nevuchim, is that, yeah, Hashem created the world, but there's no change in Hashem. And Hashem Shelo Shenisi, how's that possible? He did something, didn't do something. An action indicates change. If he created, that means yesterday there wasn't. Now he created, he did something. No, I'm God, I didn't change. Any action is change. So that, of course, we don't have the ability to understand. But ultimately, from his perspective, from the perspective of God's oneness and his infinite, all these things and all these axioms and all the right, including light and darkness, which means life and not life, there's no right, infinite and finite. From there, there's absolutely no contradiction whatsoever. Movement and lack of movement. It's way beyond. There's no contradiction there at all. And that's why he ends off at Dvarim Kvayim and Elamim, is because up there, of course, we don't understand Yedia Bechira, all these questions, all these big paradoxes, all these, between the major Yesaidis of Amuna. Up there, it all works out. All right. Any questions?
Can I ask something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. In the Shabbataria here, Avraham Avinu understood that the mitzvah was originally to shecht him.
Yeah.
And the tshuva came ha'aleihu.
Yeah.
It's just very interesting because, you know, when someone is called upon to do something that they rather not do, the natural tendency is to look for every possible way out of, you know, what could have been, what might really be, you know, being asked of me. In other words, the chiluk of haleihu and shechteihu is something that it's quite obvious that.
Well, in hindsight, if Avraham Avinu would have attempted to say that beforehand in the Beis Medrash, they would say, "Come on, stop playing games." You know, like you'd throw him out of the Beis Medrash. He'd be like, "You know what Hallel means. You know what a Karban Ola means. It doesn't mean just to bring him up the mountain. You know, it doesn't mean just to lay him down there." And Avraham wasn't looking for ways out. He was looking to, you know, he thought this is the Pashas, the Ratzon Hashem. You know, so. But you're right, yeah. Now, I did want to just say one more thing, though, because this point, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, doesn't give us any kind of explanation at all, and I don't, let's try to suggest something. What did Hashem do this for? In other words, Hashem knew that it's not time yet, so like, you know, v'tchilase maikasava v'seife maikasava, what did he think in the beginning, what do you think in the end? He tells Avraham, I want to, you know, like, let's go, I want to be Mala Yitzchak, I want to bring him up to the level, that's the point of that kid, is to bring him up to the level of being above creation, where there's no contradictions. And then he stops him and says, nope, it's not time yet. Was there something done wrong? We don't find there's anything that Avraham or Yitzchak did wrong in the time. Adarabba, we only find praise. Ve'ashkem Avraham baboker. And Yitzchak tells Avraham, no, tie me tighter. I want to make sure that I don't move. Like, everything is so perfect. They're so beautiful, this alakeda. I mean, that's at the end of it, you know. Hashem says, Ata yadati, I know, I now know, ki re'a l'kimati, you're God-fearing. So he's got, he scored 100. Avraham Yitzchak scored 100 on this test. So why was it not time to reveal the level of Ben? So I think that the answer to this is that this is always the way Hashem brings in light. This is also a big Kabbalistic principle. We don't have time to get into it. But basically, it's always the way Hashem brings in Or. He first brings in an impression, and then he doesn't yet finish it off, and only finishes it off the second time. So the Akedah made that impression of Ben, but it's going to have to wait for a later period in time, really Har Sinai, for the level of Ben to actually be revealed. But that impression is necessary. That first step is necessary. And this is always the way it is done. There's many examples. You know, you have maybe the Mishkan before the Beis HaMikdash, but you have the world is Hashem first creates the world with the level of Tohu. For the first 2,000 years is like considered chaos, and then only after that he brings the Torah. Everything always works in two stages. He always first brings in like an impression, a little bit of it, and then that's actually an important thing that we also probably should apply in our lives. You know, like sometimes people just go full out right away. Sometimes you got to first get what's called soften up the ground, and that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things, and in Kabbalah. There's the concept when he actually did this process of Tzimtzum, it says that he pulled out all his light, as if he pulled out all his light, and then he brought back in light, then he pulled it out, and then he brought it back in again. So So it's called Hispashtus, Histalkus Vispashtus Rishon, Histalkus Vispashtus Sheni. That's the way. So it always, you know, you had the process always had to go once, then a second time, and that second time then is the where really the process is finished off. The spheres are formed, the worlds are formed, etc. The first time it was just to create the setting for it to happen. So this is an interesting thing, and here it seems to me that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really doing over here with the Akedah, the way Rabbi Yaakov Mesh is explaining. He's creating the impression for their Bechin of Banim to be revealed in the world, but it's not yet time. That's going to come later. It's going to come later.
Where is Bechin of Banim?
Yeah.
Where is Bechin of Yud Kei Vav
Kei? Yes.
It's right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's no steer now? Which is what the Bechin of Yud Kei Vav Kei you have? I mean, in fact, it seems like there's a lot of steer going on. A
lot of steer is going on. It's a good question. It's a very good question. Yeah, maybe in a Hanami, maybe the Yud Kei Vav Kei still never was fully revealed in a certain level, you know, to the loss of love. But I think that Klal Yisrael has been Zocha to realize and to come to some kind of recognition of the fact that things aren't really Soyser each other. You know, I think there has been some kind of Gilui like that. You know, if you want to say, again, Har Sinai itself, probably the answer is that. Probably the answer is that Har Sinai itself, we got to this level, and that's why they were able to see the Koilais, right? And they were able to, they were able to see the Koilais, which means they were able to reach that level of realizing that they're, you know, where they're out of bounds, where they're out of the limitations, and but then by the Chetah Egel we kind of lost it. By the Chetah Egel we really lost it, and that might be the answer: is that we got back down into the very very quickly back down into the level of Nar, unfortunately, on a certain level, you know, whatever. And obviously, loss of love, we'll get back to the full Banim Bez Hashem, and hopefully that's any moment.
Right.
Okay, very good. Shavua Tov.